This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But I feel like Seth C. Pain sounds a little pompous.
Well, that's what I was kind of pointing out with John P. Lopez.
Yeah.
It sounds a little...
Well, John, with John P. Lopez, I can see John wanting to differentiate himself because John and Lopez are pretty common names.
True, true. Yeah.
Seth Payne is less common, but I couldn't get it. I got the URL, too. I got SethCPayne.com.
I think you need to go by Seth C. Payne.
But this is the thing, Sean. This is the problem. This is the one thing holding me back.
What?
There's nothing I love more in life than when I'm just walking down the street and I hear, Seth Payne! It's like somebody driving by and they're just yelling my name. Or I'm at the Astros game and like somewhere from way down the concourse, I'll hear,
okay.
Seth Payne!
Okay.
And it doesn't have the same ring. I don't think people are going to do it if they're like, Seth C. Payne!
Okay, I'm trying to think what's more pompous. Actually, inserting your middle initial or thinking that you have a chant that people use around town to holler at you.
Wait, thinking?
are you saying I'm imagining that?
Do a lot of people chant? How do they?
What was the drop Ben just used?
Everybody knows Seth Payne.
It's true. Do it again. How does it sound? Because I want this. If it's not totally a thing, I want this to turn into it.
It is a thing.
It is.
I don't know why. It's not like
I've
people
I've walked through town with you many times, and I've never heard people go, Seth Payne.
You have? Seth Payne.
Yes. Maybe it just happens so much, it's become background noise. Do it again.
It's awesome.
Do it again.
He goes, Seth Payne. It's awesome. It usually happens when I'm like, sometimes it freaks me out because I'll be like walking at 4:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes sometimes it's good. It turns into a long walk and you're on the wrong part of Richmond and you're, Seth Payne! And I'm like, oh, crap. It came for me.
Yeah, usually it has the word freeze after it. Seth Payne, freeze! So good. So you and I are going to a Skeeters game at some point here in the next week to go watch Breggy Bombs, and we're going to go to an Astros game in a couple of weeks. So if you see us out at these games, I need you to yell, Seth Payne!
They don't need to be prompted. Every Houstonian knows that's what you do.
That's what the chant is. I love that. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Now people are texting it. Seth Payne with like 10 N's and 5 Y's.
It's a fun name to say.
It is. It really
is. The pain part makes it fun.
Yeah. someone just said, added you on Snap. Seth, be sure to snap me, bro.
I've never yet snapped yet. I'm so scared. I feel like if you show up on Snap as a 46-year-old, you should be labeled as a predator. It goes with these social media things. At some point in time, people were saying like, this Twitter thing is dumb. And then boom.
You'll have arrived on Snapchat when either Sammy or James screen cap something that you snapped and send it to me.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Because I get that. Like, that's half of my Deshaun updates I get on social media are from my sons, who are obviously both on Snapchat.
Yeah.
That's how I found out he was flying to New York, is James screen capped Deshaun, snapping a picture from whatever plane he was on saying, New York, my second home. James sent that to me. It's almost like I've got like a second layer of producers working for the show.
Yeah.
With Sammy and James.
Well, that's
really
where I don't feel like I need Snapchat because I feel like Twitter curates the best ones for me. Most of the Snapchats I see are just people like showing the video on Twitter, and that's good enough for me because I don't have to go through it. This is what I've learned about Snapchat. Maybe this is just the algorithm that it was doing to me. So apparently on Snapchat, Somebody like copies a song and does something goofy with it, and then 400 million copy the exact same format.
Right.
And then you end up watching the same video 400 times in a row, and it's hilarious the first time somebody does it. But after a while, it just feels weird.
Yeah.
So I like watching on Twitter where I just see like the best of it.
Do you are you following various people on Snapchat yet?
I don't know how to. I feel like my grandma on the internet. I'm like, okay, I think I press here, and I don't know. And then all of a sudden, and then frankly, stuff pops up where you're like, I don't want, this person's too young for me to be watching them do that. Like, get this off of here quick.
Yeah. That happens on Instagram, too. Like, well, some of the reels they recommend and stuff. I'm like, no,
they
I'm watching this.
Like, here's a nice kid doing a dance. And then they do that thing where they jump and all of a sudden they're wearing a thong. And you're like,
no.
Yeah.
No. This segment, Ben, save this segment because like 2 or 3 years from now, this is going to sound like that video that pops up on the internet every now and then. Of Bryant Gumbel and Katie Couric talking about the internet.
You're like, what's this ad thing?
What is internet? Like, it's the A. I believe it stands for at. And it's, I don't know, what is it? Email. Email. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. We'll be out at Camp Casario tomorrow starting Wednesday. Really, really excited. someone, our friend Michael Schwab tweeted at us, Seth is talking about TikTok. You're on TikTok now, too, aren't you?
Why, what did I say? Oh, I said Snapchat. Dang it. Oh, yeah, TikTok. See, wow. How many times did I say Snapchat when TikTok?
Yeah,
I meant TikTok.
And I was part of the problem.
Thank you, Michael Schwab. Yeah, TikTok, obviously, is what I'm talking about. Snapchat, does that even exist anymore?
Yes.
Snapchat was the one that, because Snapchat for a while was what people are saying about TikTok now. Ben, hey, now, Ben, why didn't you step in and say, hey, Seth, you're talking about TikTok?
How am I going to know that?
I don't know.
That's the equivalent of Bryant Gumbel going, is internet still a thing?
We've really dated ourselves here.
Big time.
Wasn't Snapchat absorbed by somebody?
Facebook,
I thought people stopped using Snapchat. I thought Snapchat died the day people realized, like, wait a second, this doesn't actually disappear.
We're completely setting ourselves up to segment off our demographic. Like, the floor is now age 46.
All I know is that I can go to Instagram and basically post to both Facebook and Twitter.
It's nice.
And I feel like I don't need much more than that.
It's very efficient. I'm going to that Skeeters game, someone says, and I'm yelling, Seth C. Payne!
So that person that added me on, did they say they added me on Snapchat or TikTok?
Yes.
Yeah, damn it.
No, they said they added you on Snap.
Okay, maybe I'm on Snapchat too, I guess.
You better get a hold of this stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
You better get your arms around.
I like
this
me some
thing.
Snap Kitchen.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
like $17 a meal.
Yeah, very nutritious though. Very nutritious. All right, so we'll be out of training camp starting tomorrow. What's your excitement level for Camp Casario on a scale of 1 to 10? Especially based on all the things that have gone down in the last 48 hours.
It's an ashamed 7. I'm ashamed of myself for calling it a 7.
Mine's
I've got
like a
my
and
standards
a half.
Have been lowered,
I'm
man.
I'm so excited.
I know. I'm really, really excited to be out there.
Yeah.
I'm excited to, you know what I get? Because we missed it last year. There's a part of me every year when we go out there and we're out there at, you know, 5 a.m. It's still dark out. Sometimes there's a little bit of dew on the grass.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. I get excited to be out on those practice fields because they're so pristine. It's like you're on a golf course.
It is.
It really is. It's amazing. Like, for as much trouble as they had growing grass inside Energy Stadium because of the various obstacles, the grass on the practice field is absolutely immaculate. And I get out there and I'm like, I kind of want to run some gassers right now. And then I don't because I've got that luxury and that right.
You don't have to anymore.
I do so many things like that I used to get yelled at for not doing. I used to get yelled at if I didn't run gassers.
Yep.
Now I just don't run gassers.
Guess what I'm doing at 5:30 tomorrow? Yelling at you for not running gassers. Yeah, now I know. Your Achilles heel. You don't like being yelled at. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday, 713-572-46. There's a lot of people adding you on Snapchat. That would seem to tell me that you're on there, just so you know.
TikTok, everybody. Add me on TikTok.
If you're not on
TikTok is what I want to be on.
Text message. If you're not on Snapchat, who is this Seth C. Payne I just added?
Son of a... Uh-oh.
almost cursed. All right. What would a teammate think about trading for Deshaun Watson? In other words, if Deshaun Watson were to get moved to a team, what would one of his teammates on his new team think? Dan Orlovsky talked about that earlier this morning. We'll let you hear from Dan Orlovsky. We'll get Seth's thoughts on that as well. That is next.
And have fun with all of your new followers, non-Seth Payne person who has the...
Oh, it's not you?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'll check during the break.
All right, that's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, so the Texans are reportedly listening to Deshaun Watson trade offers. We'll see what happens. Camp Caserio gets started tomorrow. As of right now, Deshaun Watson still part of the Houston Texans. And until we hear otherwise, I'm going to assume he's going to be out at practice tomorrow. If Deshaun Watson were to get traded to a team, we've talked a lot about what Deshaun's current teammates might be feeling, thinking, whatever, as Deshaun comes back into the building. If Deshaun gets traded somewhere, what would a future teammate, what would a teammate on Deshaun Watson's new team be thinking? Here was Dan Orlovsky on Get Up earlier this morning.
I want to take everyone inside the locker room, Greeny, because I just want to be candid about the situation. I think the most important thing, if I was a player in a locker room that was entertaining going to trade for Deshaun Watson, I would hope and pray that my organization got all the information that they could. Because you'd rather be late than early to this party because the allegations are what they are. And I would hope that as a person in the locker room, a man who's married, I've got a daughter, like I'd hope that they covered all their bases and got all the information necessary. And then I would hope and pray that we've got a head coach that can handle the situation and a front office that can handle the situation and leadership in our locker room that can handle what potentially just from a media situation would come along with that, from a PR situation. You better have the right people within your organization to handle everything that could potentially come with Deshaun Watson in a trade, depending on what happens with all the off-the-field allegations.
All right, so that's Dan Orlovsky. So, Seth, I want to focus in on the first part of that, the part where Dan Orlovsky says, I hope and pray that they're late to the party as opposed to early to the party. In other words, it doesn't sound like Dan Orlovsky would want to be on a team that's trading for Deshaun Watson right now, because there's still a tremendous amount of mystery surrounding how this is all going to play out.
You know, yeah,
it's not all been adjudicated.
And it is,
yet.
You know, the interesting thing about it is, whenever anybody asks me, you know, what's it like as a player in the locker room in a situation like this, it's really, really hard to answer because it is such a unique situation. One of the big factors is it is your quarterback. And in any NFL locker room, there's various amounts of guys or misconduct that guys have had in the past, and that, you know, they really rehabilitate themselves and then they get back to being whoever they are. And the guy that you know in the locker room might be a different guy in his personal life. So you just don't think about it a lot. Same way most people in their own workplaces probably don't think a whole lot about the personal lives of their coworkers. But when it becomes a public issue, and when it's your actual quarterback who's a leader, and when it involves like the numbers that this does, yeah, I think it's probably different than your average situation. And Orlovsky's right. There's the one side of it where maybe you trade for Deshaun Watson right now and hope that the legal side resolves itself.
Yeah.
But I think what those teams are also thinking is, that's all well and good that, okay, maybe we trade for him now, but then he gets suspended. But what if more and more details come out? What if this becomes some really vile stuff somehow, or somehow people believe 100% that he's guilty? There's a downside there that basically would could be like throwing away three first round picks.
Yeah.
It's not your typical risk that you're taking. You know, usually when you're trying to get a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, you have to give up like a number 11 overall pick or something, and then you hope that you get it. Teams looking at the Texans right now, unlike a draft pick, they know how good Deshaun Watson is.
Yeah.
Draft picks, you don't know how good they're going to be. You're hoping they turn out to be good with, but there is, it's a different type of uncertainty, but it's an uncertainty nonetheless where teams are looking at Deshaun Watson and saying, well, no, I can't give up three or four first round picks because look at what the downside is. It's the same as a first round pick potentially being a bust. This is a guy who I'm going to pay a ton of money to who might also end up being unavailable or like unemployable depending on how bad the court case goes. And I don't think anybody out there right now is willing to spend that kind of capital.
How worried would you be if you were a general manager that Deshaun hasn't learned his lesson? You know what I mean? Like that Deshaun is going to change. He's got to change his behavior going forward as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
and this isn't me saying that he's guilty of everything he's been accused of in these lawsuits. This is me saying, okay, at the very least, he needs to stop going and finding massage therapists on Instagram. He needs to tighten up his inner circle is what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
You got Quincy Avery out here saying he's going to get traded by Sunday on Adam Schefter's podcast. You got Brian Burney out there doing things as marketing guy. I don't know that David Mulligetta has handled this whole thing all that well. He should be the guy that's kind of orchestrating all this behind the scenes as Deshaun's agent. Deshaun needs to tighten that up,
too. You know the weirdest thing? The weirdest thing that I didn't say this at the time because I was trying to figure it out about why I thought it was weird. But when his attorneys got up there, the women that he was paying to say nice things about him got up there and gave it. And I say that, I mean, because like literally those are attorneys who are working for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is paying those people or will be eventually. And Rusty Harden put these women up. There was a smart thing to do because, hey, here are females saying really nice things about Deshaun Watson. They're his paid attorneys. But the one claiming that Deshaun didn't have an entourage. And I thought, I guess if your definition of entourage is a band of like 10 people that follow you around everywhere, like MC Hammer had an entourage.
Right.
But Deshaun does have people that advise him and do things for him. I mean, Quincy Avery texted the one asking for her professional Instagram so he could prove to Deshaun's girlfriend that she was an actual massage therapist.
Seth, we did an event with Deshaun up here at the station back in 2019, that evening with Deshaun where I sat down with him and did that interview. It was a fun night. He had like six people with him.
Yeah.
They were all, I mean, they weren't six of his buddies or anything like that.
Yeah.
We're getting into semantics maybe as to what entails an entourage, but he has a crew that he rolls with that are all very invested in Deshaun Watson as a business interest.
Yeah. And I do wonder, you know, when that first complaint came up from Ashley Solis, if his people, his non-entourage people, but his people that advise him had handled that differently, then, you know, maybe they could have headed it off at the pass. Maybe, I mean, you know, according to Rusty Harden, Deshaun is still, you know, so adamant about his innocence that he doesn't want a non-disclosure agreement as part of a settlement, which is, that's not the way it goes. Usually the defendant or the accused or what have you, if they're going to settle, they want to be sure the plaintiff doesn't keep talking about it afterwards.
It's a unique situation.
Yeah, whereas Deshaun is, or at least Harden is claiming that Deshaun wants to be able to tell his side of the story after it's all settled.
Yep.
I don't know. That's, you know, that there's 18 different ways you can interpret that. That could be a PR play in and of itself, you know, and by claiming that this is what you want. But also, too, Deshaun's got the biggest bullhorn. So if he did want to keep talking about it afterwards, that could also be to besmirch the name of the accusers or what have you. So it's that's a big obstacle in actually getting the settlement done.
Do you think he gets in front of the media this week? Deshaun?
I don't think he has to until the regular season.
Yeah, I need to find out what the rules are on that.
Yeah.
I don't know that he does. I don't know one way or the other, and I don't want to speculate on that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's fun for our minds to go to a place where he does have to get up in front of the media.
It's going to be a whole bunch of no comments, right? It'll be a whole bunch of, I can't comment on that matter, I can't comment on that matter.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of people out there that want to put him through that ringer.
Well, there are things that he's allowed to comment on that would be really interesting. Like, what have your interactions with your teammates been like? How are you handling, I don't know, potentially being a third string quarterback or however they're going to handle it?
Have you requested a trade?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you requested a trade? Because I think that's what a lot of people want. They want to hear from Deshaun Watson's mouth that he does not want to be a Houston Texan anymore. And I think that'll provide at least a little bit of closure for a lot of people, honestly, because everything's been through back channels with Deshaun. Well, the last time we heard Deshaun's voice was January 4th.
you know, it's everybody else doing the speaking for him, even back before all the lawsuits.
January 4th was when he said that they needed clarity. What was the...
They needed a culture shift.
They needed a culture shift.
Yeah.
And then the Texans doubled
down. 24 hours later, Jack Easterby and Cal McNair were on a plane to go get Nick Caserio.
Deshaun Watson said they needed a culture shift when the guy who's obsessed with culture, Jack Easterby, was still in the organization.
Right.
And then 24 hours later, the general manager... I don't feel bad for Nick Caserio. Look, Nick Caserio is getting paid really good money to do his job. Yeah. I think he knew a little bit of what he was stepping into. I don't know if he knew the full extent of what he was stepping into. But I do feel bad that... And I think for the most part, I don't feel bad for him because I think most people have gone out of their way to explain, including players themselves that I've talked to, have gone out of the way to explain that, like, look, Nick Caserio might be awesome at what he does. That's not really Nick Caserio personally. It's the whole dynamic of Jack Easterby getting his guy in here that irks people.
I think it's, to put it, I guess, differently, it's with Deshaun, my guess is when it comes to Caserio, it's much less about Caserio individually and much more about the how they arrived at Caserio. You know, the complete overarching concept of Caserio. Did you figure out if you're on Snapchat or not, by the way?
I am on Snapchat as Seth C. Payne. Okay. So I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, which I didn't even know still existed. and I just left my first Snapchat.
Oh, you did?
At Seth C. Payne.
Okay, follow Seth at Seth C. Payne. He's snapping right now.
I'm on TikTok. I have yet to TikTok, but I'm on Seth C. Payne at TikTok too. So the question Sean and I were having, for those of you who just tuned in, is I feel like I should start referring to myself as Seth C. Payne, but I feel like A, it's a little pompous, and B, I kind of like when I'm walking down the street and somebody driving by yells, Seth Payne, and I don't think Seth C. Payne has the same ring.
Definitely,
to it.
It's definitely clunky.
Yeah.
The C would stand for clunky.
Yeah, but I also look. Yeah. I'm Sean. I'm an influencer. This is the thing: is that as an influencer, this unanimity I have across social media platforms, except for that damn Facebook where I'm like Seth.Payne.10 or something.
Yeah.
I gotta stick around. I think I'm Seth Copeland Payne on Facebook.
Okay.
But don't follow me on Facebook, people. Go to Instagram or Twitter. That's the spot. Those are the money spots for me.
Are you an influencer on Snapchat? How many followers do you have on there right now?
Oh, not officially. I think I've only got like 1,100 or something or 1,200.
Wow. On Snapchat?
Oh, I know you said Snapchat. I thought you said Instagram.
No.
Oh, Snapchat, I think I've got like 8 followers.
Nice.
I'm not a...
But you're heavily influencing
those 8
people.
I can influence damn near a dozen people. I hope to be up to a baker's dozen by
2 p.m. I just saw my picture on there. What, am I one of your pinned conversations on there?
I don't know how it works. I don't even know. I don't think I have a profile.
No. I thought you had your texts open there when you were showing me your phone.
I've got 43 interactions. What's that mean?
Yeah.
I've got all kinds of new friends.
Yeah. Good.
Nick at Night, Ricardo Avelos. Kylan, where am I? I'm supposed to get pictures of naked people, aren't I, on Snapchat? Why am I even on this platform? I thought this was about, like, why do I not have any short videos that I will screen cap and send to other people, everybody?
I think they tell you. I think it tells people when you screen cap their stuff on there is what I'm told.
It does?
I think so, yeah. Just so you know. Does Seth still have MySpace? That's a text message.
I'm stuck at 8 followers. Man, now I'm depressed. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It brought me joy for a minute. And now
big
I'm
influencer.
And now I'm depressed. I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to talk to Silver Eagle Distributors to talk about some Bud Light stuff we're doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to show them my Snapchat. I'm
like, don't show them the number of followers
Snapchat?
You have.
You guys want me to Snapchat this stuff too? I'm showing the picture of this ghost in my 8 followers.
Right now, you'd have a better chance of influencing people with your fists than you actually would on Snapchat. I think you could.
I could hold people down and make them shot.
I think you could beat up more people in one sitting than you could influence on Snapchat.
I'm going to go throw these Texans team can Bud Light cans at people, and I'll influence
more
people.
There you go. Okay, so we got a teammate view on trading for Deshaun Watson. What are general managers around the league thinking right now? We'll hear from a former general manager just that next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
All right, so what are general managers doing right now around the league when it comes to Deshaun Watson, knowing that he has shown up at Texans training camp, Camp Caserio, starts tomorrow. 9 a.m. is the first practice. Till we hear otherwise, I'm going to assume that we see Deshaun Watson out there tomorrow running around in a Texans practice uniform. Here is former general manager for the Jets, Mike Tannenbaum, on Get Up earlier this morning.
It's a complicated situation, but if I'm another team, I am calling Houston all the time. I'm checking in to see what it would take to trade for Deshaun Watson if and when he's eligible. It may include something like a conditional pick this year if he plays, let's say, 75% more of the snaps in 2021. We would give 3 first-round picks. If we would acquire him and he doesn't play this year, obviously the value would go down. So I am talking to my owner, I'm talking to my head coach, but most importantly, I am calling Nick Caserio all the time, Greeny, to make sure he knows that we are at the top of the list. And whether one other dynamic that's really important here, if we go back to 2010, Ben Roethlisberger was suspended for 6 games for the violation of the personal conduct policy without any criminal charges. So even if, and it's a big if Deshaun Watson ever settles the criminal situation, he is still very much in play for a suspension by the commissioner.
All right, so that was Mike Tannenbaum. Seth, I listened to him lay that out. I listened to Mike Tannenbaum lay that out. He's laying it out from the perspective of a general manager calling Nick Caserio. He's not coming at it from Nick Casario's angle. And when I hear that, I think, okay, so you're basically asking the Texans then to pay the uncertainty tax in this whole thing, you know, making conditional picks, probably taking,
yeah,
you know, 80 cents on the dollar for at best for what would be the normal package for Deshaun Watson. I don't want any of that. What would hasten Nick Caserio's time frame for trading Deshaun Watson?
Well, again, you got to remember, for any team trading for Deshaun Watson, there's uncertainty, and that's going to affect the price. You got to remember that there's uncertainty on the Texans' end, too. That right now it's convenient to say, well, if you wait until next year before the draft, that's when you're going to get your highest price. The big unless is unless more comes out in this investigation,
HPD.
The criminal charge. Yeah. Maybe HPD presses charges. Yeah. At some point now, jail time would be, as far as it's been explained to me, you probably shouldn't expect jail time in this, because most of these instances, believe it or not, are just misdemeanors.
Misdemeanors. Yeah.
Yeah. Now there's in at least one case where it could be forcible.
There's two that would come to the level of a felony.
Yeah. So it's, but regardless, there's uncertainty on the Texans level too. And then there's also the moral hazard of just, okay, aside from the actual suspensions and legal issues and whatnot, what about what he did or did not do and how that affects us? What do we believe at our core, and what do our fans believe at our core? Yeah. All of that. All those Roberto Osuna questions that you have.
The one reason I'm glad that I think people bring up, that I'm glad you didn't bring up, because I don't think it should be a reason the Texans should hasten the Deshaun Watson trade talks, is the circus.
Yeah.
You know, air quotes, the circus it brings, the distraction it brings. Distracting from what? Going and finishing 5-12 this year?
Yeah,
you know
for
what
this
I mean?
Year, like realistically, a circus is going to perhaps, if anything, help you. You know, in the short term, because it's going to give you a better draft pick. But I don't think that you're exactly right. Bad teams have plenty of other distractions above and beyond any kind of legal matters or pending legal matters. I do think that it does make the most sense if both sides in this potential trade have a whole bunch of uncertainty, then yeah, the Texans might have to give up some protections or some contingencies that, all right, if you know, 3 first round picks, but if he misses a certain number of games, then it turns into 2 first round picks, or a first round pick turns to a second round pick, something like
that.
Yeah,
like the Carson Wentz deal with the Eagles and the Colts, where if Carson Wentz plays 75% of the snaps, then the pick goes from a second to a first. Yeah. One of the picks goes from a second to a first, that kind of thing.
Because somebody at one point has suggested, like, well, why don't you just make it based on the legal outcome? The short answer is just that it's really hard to do. Yeah. It's really hard to do non-football things when you add it to a contract, so you got to base it on playtime or, you know, games active or something like that.
Chris Mortensen of ESPN has said that the asking price for the Texans is five high picks or starting players, like some permutation, some combination, that basically five assets, and it's some combination of high picks and players. So, Seth, I feel like, I don't know, there's going to be this inherent feeling for me that if they trade Deshaun now while there's a lack of clarity, that whatever it is they get, they could have gotten 20% more if they had just waited. And I think your point is a very, very good one about the uncertainty. That the uncertainty in this thing could tip the other way on the Texans. If I had to handicap it, I don't think it will.
Yeah.
But it could. So maybe I shouldn't feel that way, that if they do trade Deshaun in the next several weeks, like, oh, they settled, they took a discount for Deshaun. If they wound up getting what Chris Mortensen is saying, some combination of five assets, that some combination of high picks, let's say it's three first-round picks and a couple of viable starting football players, how would you feel? Like, if they made that trade tomorrow, would it depend on the team they did it with because of the nature of the picks? Or would you feel like, and obviously it depends on who the players are, but just generally speaking, how would you feel about that?
I'm in this weird spot, Sean, where I completely 100% totally blame the Texans for creating a strange environment where good players flat out did not want to be here. I blame them for that, and yet at the same time, I'd come resigned to trading away Deshaun Watson, and especially now, like, I look, frankly, I don't like having to make this moral bargaining with myself. I don't like having to do the Roberto Osuna thing with Deshaun Watson. And there's a point where I've just come to say, all right, you know what? I hope Nick Caserio is the guy for the job. He inherited this situation. I wouldn't blame him if he wants to start fresh. And it's a whole, as a Texans fan, it's a weight off of my back, and yeah, let's just do it. If it's a fair price, let's do it. That sounds like a fair price to me.
Three first round picks and a couple of players.
Yeah,
yeah, I think so too. Where would you like the players to be? Like, what as far as positions,
like,
or
I would like them to be either pass rushers or pass defense cornerbacks.
Yeah, they need to be impact positions.
Yeah, I want guys that are going to make life uncomfortable for opposing teams.
And I'll tell you, what I don't want is a veteran player who's on his second contract.
No.
They need to be almost like the equivalent of a couple more first-round picks.
You know, maybe a young guy, maybe a team that's in taking on Deshaun Watson isn't going to be able to pay a couple of their young studs that are coming up on free agency.
Yeah.
Then you get those guys with 1 year to prove themselves, and then maybe you do a deal with them.
Yeah.
The Texans do have – this is what Caserio has really done here with this really weird offseason and free agency period is he's cleared the deck for 2022 and 2023. 2023 especially, they have a ton of cap space.
They're in great position.
So yeah. So if you, the more guys, so if they're able to get a couple of guys that are maybe going into their third or fourth year, young, promising, or already stud players for another team, you're going to have the money to re-sign those guys.
Yep.
And that helps soften the blow for a team that's bringing on Deshaun Watson.
Going to have to find a quarterback. That's the big thing, unfortunately. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Quick text message, Seth. How do players tend to view other players who demand trades? Do they see it as just a business decision? Or do they take it as a slight against their team? Were you ever on a team with somebody that demanded a trade before?
I remember.
Publicly or privately?
Leon, okay, that's a good question. Because Leon Searcy was a guy who was very much loved and respected by his teammates. He was an offensive lineman for the Jaguars. So when I was a young player with the Jaguars, he got in a verbal altercation with Tom Coughlin on the sideline. And he said something along the lines of, I hate you. I never want to play here again. And at that point, honestly, most guys were like, I get it. I hate him too. It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
It really does. And I think on some teams, depending on who the coach is and what the environment is like, on some teams, maybe a guy would be despised for saying that. But depending on who the guy was in, Leon Searcy was a guy that guys really respected. And everybody else could understand not getting along with Tom Coughlin. You know, and they ultimately, Leon Sirza got, I think I got an extension like 3 weeks later. I think they were like in the middle of a
one of those
trade
demands.
In the middle of a contract extension discussion. But so it wasn't a trade demand, but it was like it was basically a publicly saying like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Right.
I think you get it. You understand, and that's the business side of it. And the guys who were remaining on the team, you have to wonder, all right, J.J. Watt wanted the hell out of here. DeAndre Hopkins, by the version of events, he says he wanted the hell out of here. Now that's, you know, I think O'Brien would probably have a different version of events. And there's probably guys that don't have as much leverage or influence or control as, or basically need the job or need the money, that don't want to be on the Texans organization. I don't care if you might be the most dyed in the wool Texans truther, you know, believe that everything is fine all the time, you have to admit and acknowledge and accept that there was a level of dysfunction on this team last year.
Yeah.
You can blame whoever you want to blame. Maybe blame Deshaun Watson if you want to. Blame Jack Easterby, whoever it is. It went above and beyond just being a bad team. There were some seriously messed up things going on, and I think there were a lot of guys that wanted to get the hell out of here. The challenge now is in creating an environment where guys don't feel that way.
Right.
So I don't think there are a whole bunch of guys on that team saying, wow, what a bastard Deshaun Watson is. I can't believe he wants out. I think there's a chance there's a lot of guys on that team that are like, yeah, I get it. You know, above and beyond, like if you disregard all the sexual assault
sure,
stuff.
Sure, yeah,
that,
no, the football
stuff. That makes things
stuff.
Way
yeah,
more complex.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you clarified, but I knew that's what you meant. Absolutely. All right. I don't know who shot this video that I'm looking at here, Seth, but it appears to be official. You see this video right here on my phone? See that?
Who is that? Is that Aaron Rodgers?
That is Aaron Rodgers.
Does he have a man bun?
He has a man bun, it would appear. He has shades on, and he has a man bun. Man bun, shades, and a backpack both shoulders.
That's a bad sign. That's a
flip-flops, and he's strolling into Lambeau Field.
It's a bad sign. It's a little too much Charlie Whitehurst in that image there.
He's
for me.
The new football Jesus. Yeah, what was Charlie Whitehurst? Clipboard Jesus.
Clipboard
that's
Jesus.
That's what he was.
He was awesome.
He was.
He played the guitar.
He made a lot of money.
I think he pretended to play the guitar. Yeah. I think he was like taking lessons, but there were pictures of him and he had awesome hair and a beard, so he looked like
if you
he
have that hair and that beard, all you need are the pictures with the guitar. You don't need to actually know how to play it.
You learn three chords.
That's an influencer.
You sit under an oak tree and you take your orders from females.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. So Aaron Rodgers, I play the breaking news sounder to basically put a bow on it here. Aaron Rodgers has arrived at Packers training camp. So as of right now that we know of, Deshaun Watson is the only elite quarterback in the NFL that is demanding a trade from his team. Supply and demand, supply is on the side of the Houston Texans. All right, 713-572-4610. Let's go out to Magnolia and talk to Rob. Rob, you're up on Payne and Pendergast. What's happening?
All right, gentlemen, good morning. The Snapchat thing still has me freaked out, so forgive me. But I've got a question about, I read last night that I guess an additional amount of women went to HBD. To file a complaint, if you will. So my question to you guys is, there's got to be some sort of connection between Deshaun Watson announces he's showing up at camp. Oh, by the way, here comes all these other women now that are filing a complaint. Of course, they didn't file the complaint when the other women did. They didn't file the complaint when the alleged assault actually happened. Seth, guys, will y'all give me some clarity on this? Because to me, this just seems... It just seems real orchestrated.
Well, to be clear, like
it's just the reporting of the complaint.
That report came out. It wasn't a lot of those complaints had been filed a while back. This is almost like almost like an accounting of who has filed complaints. I guess the one newsworthy bit was that it was Rusty Harden saying that two of these women are new and that they don't know much about them. Like, so two of the women are not part of the lawsuits.
Yes.
So,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well,
so it's.
I read that too, but the general tweeted out, he tweeted out in a way, and perhaps my interpretation was just off, but he tweeted in a manner of that was suggested, well, these were additional women, because not all the women from the 22, the way that I understood it, actually filed a complaint with HPD.
Correct.
So he tweets in a manner of which suggests, well, now some additional women have gone that are part of that 22, minus the two. He did say that. It just, perhaps it was just misleading, or my interpretation was off.
Well,
it
I do think I
almost orchestrated.
I do think that one thing that is going on here, and this has happened. It happened during the draft too. This is a hot spot. This is right now is a hot time for NFL news, and some of these things are kind of curated over time. And when the national people start reading and writing, or start tweeting and writing and talking about some things that are already existing conditions, it gets almost presented like it's breaking news.
Yep.
And I honestly don't even blame those national reporters. It's that right now is the time where they know all of a sudden people are back in NFL mode and they want to know what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson reports, so that's big news. So it creates an illusion of there being more actual action and activity than there already is. And I think the other thing to keep in mind, too, is, look, there's 24 women who have filed some kind of complaint in some manner, either civil or criminal, versus Deshaun Watson. We know that there are other women who have said that they've seen Deshaun as a massage therapist and have, you know, voiced approval for Deshaun Watson or support. They gave basically a character statement for him. But there are also other women that have issues with Deshaun Watson that either didn't want to, maybe will never say anything publicly or file a charge, or maybe they're taking their time and maybe like now is the right time or next month is the right time. I mean, it's 24 women already. I think it would be foolish to believe that there are no other women out there who might have a similar complaint.
Yeah.
And maybe it takes a lot of guts to come out and subject yourself to the kind of abuse that some women get like that. Now, on the flip side, hypothetically, somebody could be opportunistic too. So I wouldn't read too much into the timing of stuff. That report about the 10 women, that wasn't saying that all of a sudden 10 women, however you read the McClain tweet, that was not 10 women all of a sudden filing complaints with HPD.
Yeah, no, those are complaints that have been filed and are presumably being investigated by HPD. We've not heard any finality or any sort of definitive statement from the police on that. All right, so we head into the 9 o'clock hour. Camp Caserio getting started tomorrow. We're about 24 hours and 7 minutes away from the Texans, and presumably at this point, Deshaun Watson taking the field at Texans practice. Let's do an accounting here of where we're at with everything with Deshaun Watson. Civil lawsuits, criminal complaints, the league, and the Texans. We'll lay it all out for you heading into the 9 o'clock hour next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.